When you read your daily newspaper or watch the evening news, do you ever wonder where today's events are leading us? We hear about tensions between nations, the ups and downs of the stock market, strange weather patterns, and new religious cults. Where is our world headed? And how will it impact you in the days ahead? Do any of the events today parallel the direction and events spoken about in the scripture? According to the Bible, there will be a growing apostasy or a departure from true Christian belief as we draw near to the time when Jesus Christ will return to earth. This progression of apostasy, this growing departure from true Christian faith, is presented in the Bible as a general indication that the rapture itself is growing near. But how does the Bible describe the apostasy of the last days? Where does the Bible teach that part of the church itself will abandon true Christian belief? Why does the Bible say that even unbelievers who do not believe in God will embrace a new religious view of life that will be totally untrue? In the Bible we read, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Can it be shown that our society is fascinated with spiritism and the occult? Is this passage referring to people living today in our world? Are we living in the events of the last days and beginning to see the new religious views that will lead to the final apostasy? We invite you to join us for this edition of the John Ankerberg Show. Welcome. In this series, we're talking about the New Age movement, the last days, the rapture, the tribulation, and the worldwide apostasy that the Bible says will take place just before Jesus Christ returns to earth. Well, we've been examining 1 Timothy 4:1, which tells us three things about the future. It says, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. So first, this verse is saying, there will be an abandoning of the faith. That is, there will be a progressive departure from people believing in the foundational doctrines, the core truths of Christianity. Now, some of those core truths are the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, His atoning and substitutionary death for us on the cross, His resurrection from the dead. These are just a few. Second, the Bible says that people will abandon the faith because they will follow deceiving spirits, which we're going to talk about in the program today. And then third, the Bible says, people will follow things taught by demons. The King James says, doctrines of demons. Now, is there evidence that what 1 Timothy 4:1 states is happening today? Specifically, is there evidence that people are increasingly following deceiving spirits and things taught by demons? Well, I'm amazed at all the evidence that there is, and I like to prove it to you by turning our attention to the medical field. A few years ago, I was visiting my dad in the hospital. His doctors told me that he had come down with cancer and would die in just a few months. And that was a real shock to our family. Well, we took all the steps that we possibly could. Dad was operated on, then he kept in touch afterwards with some of the best doctors at the University of Chicago Medical School. Along the way, one of those brilliant doctors told him that he should set aside 15 minutes every day and try and get in touch with his higher self. Dad called me up and told me this, and then he asked, "What was that all about?" I said, "Dad, welcome to the world of New Age medicine." You know, those comments eventually led to Dr. John Weldon and me writing a book entitled, "Can You Trust Your Doctor?" In that book, we document the fact that it's not unusual for doctors who have degrees from some of our most prestigious universities to give medical advice that comes directly from their spirit guides or is based on occult assumptions and practices. Let me give you some examples. Did you know there's a brilliant scientist by the name of Andrija Puharic who holds more than 50 medical patents in our country? Yet this brilliant medical scientist has gotten involved with spiritistic encounters. I'd like you to listen to what he has written. He states, "I am personally convinced that superior beings from other spaces and other times have initiated a renewed dialogue with humanity. While I do not doubt their existence, I do not know what they look like, how they live, or even what their goals are with respect to humankind. Now, that's quite a statement, isn't it? Another one of our top medical doctors is Dr. Bernie Siegel, who teaches the medical students at Yale University. He's the author of the best-selling book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles. Now, in that book, he tells how he learned to make contact with the spirits, even though, at first, he didn't believe in them. He didn't think they were real. Here's what he said. I approached this exercise with all the skepticism one could expect from a mechanistic, secularistic doctor. Still, I sat down, closed my eyes, and followed directions. I didn't believe it would work. But if it did, I expected to see Jesus or Moses. I mean, after all, who else would dare appear inside a surgeon's head? Instead, I met George, a bearded, long-haired young man wearing an immaculate flowing gown and a skullcap. It was an incredible awakening for me because I hadn't expected anything to happen. Now look what he says about George. George was spontaneous, aware of my feelings, and an excellent advisor. Did you notice Bernie Siegel didn't believe in the spirits to begin with? But when he opened himself up to them, they gave him all the proof that he needed. That can happen to you as well. What's more, it's not hard today to make contact with the spirits. I have found that people are telling us that the spirits themselves are approaching some people right at work or in their homes. But let me give you another example of a well-known doctor in our country. His name is Dr. Norman Shealy. Dr. Shealy is a neurosurgeon and former professor at Harvard University. He is the founder of the American Holistic Medical Association of more than 700 members. One morning I was watching the Today Show, and I saw them interview Dr. Shealy in his office. I saw that after he took all the scientific tests, he was evaluating the results on one of his patients. Dr. Shealy picked up the phone and called an associate, a Miss Carolyn Mace, who was hundreds of miles away in another building. Carolyn Mace went into an altered state of consciousness, did a psychic scan of the patient sitting in Dr. Shealy's office hundreds of miles away, and then gave her diagnosis of that patient to Dr. Shealy. Carolyn said she got this information through the help of her spirit guide called Genesis. Now, the amazing thing is, Dr. Shealy said he would not proceed with his treatment unless his diagnosis and Carolyn Mace's diagnosis that she got from her spirit guide agreed. So I invited Dr. Shealy and another doctor, Dr. Robert Lightman, to be guests on my program concerning New Age medicine. And I'd like for you to hear a portion of what these esteemed men said to show you that some very accredited medical doctors in our country today are mixing scientific information with spiritistic advice. Listen. Okay, but now you call her on the phone, and what information do you give her?
I just say, I have sitting in my office Bob Jones. He is 53 years of age.
Okay, and then she hasn't met him. She hasn't seen him. She's 1,200 miles away. And what does she do?
She goes through a sort of systematic way of saying, I don't sense anything wrong with his brain. She does a physical, intuitive impression, and then if she finds something, she'll dwell upon that, and she says, but the real cause is, as I see it, of his problem is that he had a child out of wedlock, let's say, and that's been his problem for these 10 years, and he's not dealing with that.
Okay. Now, she actually does this, she says in the book, by checking out the 7 chakra points on a person's body and checks out the energy that she sees there, the different kinds of energy, and then she's got this all mapped out in your book as to what that tells her. Let's hold on to that thought because I want to go into a little bit more, but I want to come to your buddy right next to you there. And Bob, how do you know you can trust that information because it's not scientifically based? That's my long question, but can you see why it's so important?
I think that total infallibility is not a proper criteria for any diagnostic instrument, whether it's x-ray or a lab test or talking to a consultant or even talking to a spirit. What you have to look at is what kind of results do you get after you do 100 cases or 1,000 cases. And I think that's certainly true for x-rays, certainly true for lab tests. My own personal experience is that with selected spirits I work with, you usually get valid information, which can be checked out eventually.
Intuition today in the New Age movement is being used as a euphemism for mediumism and spiritistic inspiration. Now, Mace has a spirit guide named Genesis. Norman here has contacted many spirits, and yet this is called intuition. If you go back 20 or 30 years in parapsychology or in psychical research, what this is termed is mediumism. It is contacting a distinct spiritual entity. It is not part of your own psyche or emotional makeup or whatever. And that is really where the source of power comes from. It comes from these spirit entities. To call it intuition tends to normalize it and naturalize it and make it something innate that all of us possess. But really, the people that only have these, the only people that have these powers are the ones that are in spirit contact.
Now, by the way, I do not doubt that the spirits many times will give a person a real physical healing. For example, Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross that we had on our program had a total physical healing when she made contact with her spirit guides, and she told us all about it. But the Bible warns us against this. Why? Because the devil and his angels don't seem to mind giving a person a real physical healing if that person will be deceived over the bigger issues of his salvation, who Jesus is, and what God says in the Scripture. Jesus himself warned, "For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible," in Matthew 24:24. In my estimation, these doctors have fallen prey to exactly what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. You know, that's why Americans are very open to spiritual deception. If they can get a healing, they don't care where it comes from or who caused it. They just want to be healed. They are open to being spiritually deceived. So in compiling our list of the characteristics of the people in false religion, the Bible predicts will take place in the last days. 1 Timothy 4 states, first characteristic is, people will abandon the faith. Second, they will follow deceiving spirits. And third, they will follow things taught by demons, or doctrines of demons. Now, what in the world is a doctrine of demons? Well, these are false ideas, philosophies, doctrines that have been given to people by spirits or originated with Satan himself. Let me give you an example of four lies, four doctrines of demons that people believe today that were originally promoted by Satan himself in the Garden of Eden. If you turn to Genesis 3, 1 through 6, the Bible tells us this. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree of the garden?'" This question is lie number one. Did God really say that? Satan's implying that God lied. And today there are many people who have embraced this same satanic lie, this doctrine of demons. How many times have you heard, "You don't really believe the Bible, do you? God's really not against adultery. Does he really say fornication, homosexuality, abortion are sins? God really wouldn't send anyone to hell for these things, would he?" Well, the Bible says that if we never ask for God's forgiveness, that Christ provided by dying on the cross for our sins, we'll pay for our own sins in hell someday. But people today still believe many lies that are based on the very first lie that Satan told Eve way back in the Garden of Eden. "God didn't really mean that, did he? God lied." Then look at the second lie promoted by Satan that many people follow today. It's given to us again in Genesis. "The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden.' But God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" Then here comes Satan's second lie. He said, "You will not surely die." And today, I'm sure you realize many people in the New Age movement, as well as many of the religions of our world today, are teaching the lie of reincarnation. You won't really die. You'll just be reincarnated and come back and try again. And then now, we have 13 million near-death experiences, people in our country, who say, "You don't have to fear death. There's no hell or judgment. There's just wonderful love." But the Bible says that's a lie. God's word tells us in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for men to die once. You don't come back time and time again. And after this comes judgment. You don't go around again. God doesn't let your sin or mine slip by. There will be a judgment. Yet how many people believe this satanic lie? In a moment, you're going to hear from a world-famous psychiatrist who, because of her spiritistic advice, she believes and is teaching this lie of reincarnation to hundreds, maybe even thousands of our doctors and nurses here in America today. The third example of a doctrine of demons can be seen in the next verse in Genesis, where we read, "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" Here's the third lie. It's that you can be like God. You're really divine. And many people today believe this lie. You remember when Shirley MacLaine in her movie, Out on a Limb, stood in front of the ocean, put out her hands and said, "I am God." One of my friends said, "Well, Shirley, if you're God, there's the ocean. Walk on out, sweetheart. Let's see you walk on the water." Jesus did it. The Bible teaches that for man to think that he is God is a satanic lie. We're not God. We're not divine. We are people that God has wonderfully created and loves. But we're sinners, and we're greatly in need of a Savior. We need to ask for God's forgiveness and salvation that He has provided through Christ. Then there's the fourth lie. It's recorded in the next few verses where we read, "The woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for fruit, and pleasing to the eyes, and also desirable for gaining wisdom." Satanic lie number four is that you can attain secret wisdom that will make you like God. Today, many teachers and groups are proclaiming that you can gain this secret wisdom if you'll join their group, if you'll try their secret ways. Eve believed this fourth lie, took the fruit, and ate. And she found it wasn't what she expected. And today, many people have believed all four of these satanic lies, these doctrines of demons, and they found out it has not been what they expected. As the Bible says, they've abandoned the faith, they've followed deceiving spirits, and things taught by demons. You know, through the years, I've become increasingly aware of the fact that many of my guests right here on the program have heard these four lies from their contact with their spirit guides, and they've wholeheartedly embraced these beliefs. Let me give you an example. World-famous psychiatrist Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross told me that she believes she's still a Christian. Yet because of her contact with her spirit guides, she has abandoned many of the core truths of Christianity, including the fact that there will be a judgment for sin and that there's a real hell. Instead, she has come to believe she will not die. She'll simply experience reincarnation. I'd like for you to listen to a segment of our program with Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and Dave Hunt.
I think to me Christianity boils down to love thy neighbor as thyself. And thy neighbor is anybody and everybody on this planet Earth. And if you practice that every day, then you're a Christian.
All right, I'm going to ask all three of you the same question here. Comment on who do you think that Jesus Christ is and what part he plays in your life.
You're asking me?
Yes, first.
He's a very special being that was sent to Earth at times when we lost all our spirituality and it became more negative than positive, to set an example, to be our teacher.
Okay. Comment also on, do you believe in reincarnation from
yes.
your experiences?
Yes.
Define reincarnation as you see it, because I think that yours is just a little different than other folks would define reincarnation, but maybe I'm wrong. You define it for me.
I cannot conceive that the Hitler could return back to God. I believe that you cannot return to God with dirty hands, symbolically speaking. And if you have broken a universal law, then you have to make up for it. As you sow, you shall reap. And I think if you have broken a universal law and if you have led a more negative life and not tried your best, to me, grace is that you have 1,000 chances to come back and make up for it. And when you've learned your lessons and passed your tests, then you're allowed to graduate.
Okay.
And for me, death is a graduation.
The Bible teaches resurrection, not reincarnation. In my opinion, you cannot believe in both. if I've been reincarnated 100 different times and I've left 100 different bodies decaying in 100 different graves around this world, come the resurrection, which body will be raised? No matter which body is raised, 99 will be left in the grave and will have been conquered by death. Now, as I read Elizabeth's writings, my understanding is that she believes in a spiritual resurrection, that Jesus materialized his body. I don't believe that that is the teaching of Christianity.
What do you believe?
The grave was empty. His body was raised. This is the foundation of Christianity, that death was conquered. And as I read her writings and listen to some of the tapes, I get the impression that it's really a belief that is part of this whole picture that I mentioned before. I find it everywhere, that comes out of Eastern mysticism. And that is that death is part of this normal cycle of life and death and rebirth and life and death and rebirth. The Bible doesn't teach that, in my opinion. The Bible teaches that death came because of sin, and that death is the judgment of God, who will not perpetuate man in his fallen state, and that God has a very specific solution, and the solution is not from within. You know, it's very popular today to say, well, what we got to do is get in touch with ourselves. I don't care whether you call it intuitive or whatever. Find out who I really am. I think we've been demonstrating who we really are for several thousand years, and that's why the world is in a mess. We are not separated from some deeper level of our psyche or whatever. We're separated from God by sin, and he has a specific solution to this. And that solution is not for me to try to pass a test or pull myself up by my bootstraps or develop into a better person, become all loving. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The answer is not within me, it's within Christ, and he wants to come into my heart, and he died for my sins. This is an entirely different solution, you see.
For additional resources, log on to jashow.org. That's jashow.org.